Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be back. We thank you for all your prayers. We had a wonderful time in Houston. The baby dedication went well. And we'll share some pictures as we get an opportunity. I shared some at Prayer Wednesday. And Annalise, she's a cutie pie. Yes. But she does have a good set of lungs. I think that runs in the family. So she's... thank God for that opportunity, and God brought us back safely. Amen, and glad to see all of you. Missed you a lot. We had a wonderful time in service, but it wasn't like being at home. Amen, and it was good to be back today. Today I have a message for you. It's called Thanksgiving. Amen. So before we get started, I don't know if we're going downstairs or the little ones or not, but it won't be a very long message, I don't think. You know, pastors say that. It's not going to be long. Amen. So we'll try. We'll get there. But Thanksgiving. So what I want you to do, those of you who can, please stand up. I want you to stand up and repeat after me.
I believe
that the Word of God,
is true.
Say it one more time.
I believe that the Word of God is true.
And one last, now I want you to look at somebody and tell them that you believe that the Word of God is true. One more time.
I believe that the Word of God is true.
Give the Lord a big hand praise and you can be seated. Amen. Amen. Because I want to give you Philippians 4. And we're going to talk about this. I'm only going to cover five verses in five different versions. Amen. But these all say about the same thing. Amen. If we believe God's word is true, then when we hear it, we should do it, right? Amen. There's no excuse not to do what God says is true. Amen. So verse 4, Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, I'm going to read this, and by the way, in case you don't think I'm reading it correctly, check out the version that you're comfortable with, because I think it'll say the same thing. I'm going to give you five samples. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. This is from, first one is the New King James Version. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Amen? New Living Translation. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4 from the NIV says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Amen. Amen. Message. The Message Bible, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to meet all that you're on your side. I mean, let me read that again, because the Message blends them together. So, celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in Him. You know what revel means? Means have a good time. Amen. Amen. And from the King James Version, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, you've heard that from five different versions. Do you have any doubt of what God says? Amen. This month of Thanksgiving, the first thing He says, rejoice. Rejoice. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. I got this going on. I got that. So what? Amen. Let me read this again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. And He repeats it, just in case you didn't understand that. I know we try to get it so complex. What does He say to do? Rejoice. We sing. I want to live the life I sing about in my song. Well, rejoice. There's nowhere in God's word where He said, I want you to walk around, be mournful, sad, and looking bad. And, huh? Amen. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and whatever is going on, we know that's true.
Yes.
We rejoice. Amen. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know, people lied on me, they cheated me, they've broken their promises. What does always mean?
Always.
Always. Rejoice. All right. So then it says, now while I'm rejoicing, I love how God works this out for us. He says, then let your gentleness, wait a minute, I'm rejoicing and I'm gentle, be known to all men. that the Lord is at hand. Amen. I read from this version. It says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. We are witnesses for the Lord, right? We are, someone asked me today about internet marketing. Well, the greatest marketing of all is marketing for Jesus, right? We are the living letters. We are the advertisement, right? To people who don't know Jesus Christ, they have to look to us. And if they see us acting all ugly and mean, that's not a good witness for the Lord, is it? So while I'm rejoicing, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's near. Make it as clear as you can. This is from the Message to all you meet, that you're on their side working with them, not against them. Help them to see that the Master is about to arrive. He can show up any moment. If we truly believe that God can show up any moment, how will we be acting? Amen. How will we be treating other people? So what? They cheated us. Jesus is coming. So what? They lied on us. Jesus is coming. He's the one I'm looking for to judge me, not them, right? I feel like I haven't not gotten the right break, but Jesus is coming. I got to get my own house in order, right? Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So I'm rejoicing. I'm reveling in the Lord, but I'm doing it in such a way that I'm not driving people away. I'm showing my gentleness. I want to be there to be a helping hand. I want to be able to assist them somehow to find this Savior I'm waiting for. I have a sense of urgency that Jesus is coming. And so it's imperative that I get them to know and understand that He wants to save them too. Amen. Hallelujah. And then verse 6, how we should live. New King James says, be anxious for nothing. Did you hear that? The Word of God is true, right? These are not suggestions from God. These are not suggestions. These are commands. Verse 6. Amen. From the New Living Translation, don't worry about anything. From the NIV, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. From the Message, don't fret or worry. From the King James Version, be careful for nothing. Wait a minute. Is God trying to, maybe this is the only time He ever mentioned that to us, right? Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be anxious. But He said, instead of doing that, because God never leaves you with nothing to do, instead of doing that, He says, but in everything, can you say that with me? Everything?
Everything.
By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Everything. Pray. Let your requests be known. By the way, and again, I mention this because prayer is not a one-way street. When you pray, you then have to listen. And when God answers, you have to do what He says, right? Amen. What good is it to pray, and then when the answers come, you say, I'm not doing that. Just because it's not the answer you wanted, it's a two-way conversation, right? Yeah. You pray, you ask God, He answers, and then you have to do what He says. Amen. But don't be anxious. Look at this from the instead of worrying, this is from the Message. Instead of worrying, pray and let the petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Just think about that. If all the time you spent worrying, you spent praying and praising God, you might have more joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength, right?
Amen.
Amen. Verse 7 says, and if you do this, you will experience God's peace.
Yes, hallelujah.
Well, did anything change? Yes, your attitude changed. Because your trust is in God, right? From the New King James, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need my heart and mind guarded. And I love the way that scripture puts it, because if you're with those people who are phenomenalists or believe only what they see, they think you think with your brain, this scripture covers both. It says it'll protect your heart and your mind, right?
Amen.
The essence of your being, right? I don't know about you, but I need it, man.
Amen.
So much stuff out there not for my good, amen. Sometimes you get unsolicited letters that come in, they want to introduce something to you that you know is not right. Huh? So we don't believe that we need fortune tellers, but every once in a while you get a letter from a fortune teller just telling you, I know all about you. You don't know anything about me. I'm a son of the Most High God, right?
Yeah.
Amen? Whose report will I believe? I believe the report of the Lord, right? You might write this in a letter, but I'm reading from his word what he said. I believe that. Hallelujah. You know, you hear stuff on the news. It comes in. You got to guard your heart and mind. People can't find work, they say. I don't know. As a Christian, I always have work. I work for God, right? He always is the one who brings rewards. I don't know a Christian who's without work. In fact, my experience has been there's more work to do than I can do. And I'm constantly praying for the Lord to bring laborers, because the fields are white unto harvest, right? If I'm doing the work of the Lord, there's more than enough. More than enough, amen? Well, NIV says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I love this verse because we're summing up with verses 8 and 9. This is how we should live. Would you agree? These are pretty simple things. Rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle. Be anxious for nothing. Amen. And experience the peace of God. And listen, you heard that today? You heard it today, right?
Amen.
You didn't travel to have to go see Dr. Phil? Amen. You didn't have to pay a fee?
Amen.
$19.95 to give you the secrets of life and living?
Amen.
Amen. Right here in the Word of God, it says, let me read this real quickly again. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle unto all men, and with the idea that the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but pray. Tell God what you need. Hallelujah. And he said, if you do those things, it gives you peace. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 9. And so we're getting ready to read 8 and 9 now, because after the Lord gives us this simple way to live, right? By the way, I can't think of any time in a man's life or woman's life that this doesn't work. I can't think of any type of economy or time of the age of life that this doesn't work. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. When I see Brother Anastasio get to the house of God, I know that the joy of the Lord is upon him. He can't hardly contain himself. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Glad to be with the saints of God. Amen.
Amen.
Does that mean you won't have troubles? You have troubles, but they don't matter compared to what God has already given us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 8. Finally, he talks about what we should meditate on. Again, those of you who may not know, I'm not talking about Eastern meditation, because Eastern meditation, they teach you to meditate on nothing, right? Christian meditation is you meditate on the Word of God, the things of God. You chew them over and over and over again. It's like a cow chewing a cud. It's so good, you can't get all the sweetness out of it. You just keep on chewing it. You never get tired of it. You go back to it again and again. He says, meditate on these things. We sang the song in praise and worship. When I'm down, I'm so weary, right? I meditate on these things. Think about what God has already done. The book of Deuteronomy. Remember how he's already brought us through toils and trials and deadlines and everything we thought wouldn't pass. And we didn't think we could live with the sorrow in our heart. And we're here. Not because of our will, not because of our strength, but because of his grace and mercy. Hallelujah. New King James says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. We said the word of God is true, didn't we? We all agreed the word of God is true. Are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, of a good report. If there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What I just read to you was a description of God's word. Right? Nothing is more like this than God's word, right? Some people say, well, how do I know it's praiseworthy? Read God's word. Right? We praise him all the time, don't we? Amen? NIV reads, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We should be meditating on the Word of God. You know, we have a source of supply that the world doesn't even understand, right? Jesus said, he said, I have bread that you don't know of, right? The word of life is our bread, right? It sustains us. It keeps us, right? Jesus is the bread of life. So when things are bad, I just go to the word, right? I go to the word. If I don't have my Bible, I go to the word that's hidden deep in my heart. And I hid that word in my heart so that I would not sin against God. But it also sustains me. And when anything that opposes the word comes and says, you know what? You ought to quit trying to do that and just give up. The word of God pops up through the Holy Spirit and says, you know that's not right. You can't even think about doing that. Just dismiss that right away. Amen. If you don't have the word of God in your heart, you don't know. But we have the word of God in our heart. Hallelujah. Think about such things. Think about such things. When we were down in Texas, I was thinking, Lord, you've answered so many of my prayers. Amen. Be able to have 5 grandchildren and see them, know who they are, know their parents. What a blessing. Amen. To be able. Amen. Search the first one. Amen. He made a difference. Amen. But if it had been left up to me, I wouldn't have had any children. But God had a different plan, right? And we thank God for that. It's a blessing. But then to think that it didn't have to be that way, that it was only by his grace and mercy, it's only by his grace and mercy, amen, that those things happen. And then to think about the wonderful church family we have, amen. When we moved here to Rochester, we had just Jane and I. We didn't have any kids. We didn't have any church family here. We were just here. And God blessed us tremendously, amen, with our family and then with our church family all these years. What a blessing. Amen. And I have thanksgiving in my heart that, Lord, you did this, amen. And then to think about all the opportunities to serve that the Lord has provided, amen. And this place that I didn't want to come, wasn't going to come, wasn't going to stay, God in his merciful grace had a plan. Amen. Verse 9 says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen. We have been so blessed that we have the Word of God. We have the Word of God. We can read it. We can listen to it. We have so many avenues to the Word of God. And the Word of God gives us the mind of Christ, what God would have us to do. And he says if we would just think on that and then what we've seen and learned from studying the Word of God, if we just put it in practice, do it. It's one thing to know that you serve a God who will give you peace. But if you don't ask him for it, you won't have it. Amen. It's one thing to know that he desires for you not to be anxious, but if you insist on being anxious, he's not going to stop you. Amen. He's just going to share with you and say, why don't you stop? Why don't you quit hurting yourself? That's what he told Saul, who was kicking against the prod. He said, why don't you quit hurting yourself, kicking against the prod, right? You know, if you don't know what a prod is, like a sharp stick that you poke animals with. He says, you're hurting yourself. Stop it. Right? His yoke is easy, his burden is light, right? If I'm wearing myself out and believe that God's word is true, I need to stop wearing myself out. Right? Isn't that right? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. He commanded me to rejoice. If I can't find any joy in my life, I need to stop it. Oh, that sounds too simple. I mean, I got problems and trials, yeah. But you have Jesus. He's enough. He is the all-sufficient one, right? Oh, hallelujah. Let me read this from the 8 and 9 from the Message. It says, summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me and what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. Isn't God able? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to close by reading Revelations. So much is going on in the world, but not enough to be greater than our God, right? And in these last days, they truly will call us peculiar if we do what I just read today in the Word, right? Every situation, we have a joy in our heart that surpasseth understanding. Every disappointment that comes, we said, but God is going to work it out. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Revelations 3, verse 7. I'm reading from the NIV, Revelations 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of the heavens from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Thanksgiving. I encourage you all this month, study those verses, meditate upon them, think about it. Be thankful all month long. We should be thankful all year long. All the blessings, the manifold blessings God has bestowed upon us. And when your problems seem to get bigger in your mind, step back and think what God has already brought you through. Remember, 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 remember. And then rejoice. Then rejoice. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for all that you've done, and truly our hearts are thankful. We're grateful, Lord, for your word that causes us to come together and to reflect and think what a mighty God you are and how good you have been to us and how good you are going to continue to be, because you haven't changed, Lord. Your promises are true. Your word is true. You never fail. So, Lord, we pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would help us to live according to your word. You would help us, Lord, to do the things we've heard today, to rejoice, to be gentle, Lord, and to pray, not be anxious. All these things, Lord, we ask as we go forth this week and this month. Help us to manifest the love of Christ, and help us to do it with a sense of urgency, for we know you are coming soon. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen.